Would you please rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel? The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. He took them with him and withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out about it, they followed him, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those he needed to be cured. The day was drawing to a close, and the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they may go into the surrounding village and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are here in a deserted place." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we all go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." They did so and made them all sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke them, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and were filled. What was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I've been thinking about Jesus trying to feed 5,000 people, if you know that story in the Bible. And the disciples actually came to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, send the people away. We're tired. We've been here all day. Let's just send everybody home." And Jesus looked back at them and said, "You feed them." And so they went and they scrounged up some kid's lunch and they gave it to Jesus. And Jesus prayed over that lunch. And you know the end of the story. You know that the multitudes were fed. But I think about that story and I think about that day because of their faithfulness and Jesus' prayer. They were fruitful.
As soon as I had come, they put you to work right away. They wanted me to be on the welcome center. Just that kind of jumping attitude. You just felt welcoming. You felt included.
Every week, there is somewhere to come that's going to be stable. And there's going to be a connection to God.
They just have so many outreach and so many ministries and so many caring people.
It's family. Once you're here, people call me and they just treat you like family.
People have been super helpful and loving and kind. I am super grateful for that.
I went from not thinking that church was even important to today knowing that I couldn't have the relationship I had if I hadn't been here.
I think God's going to do a miracle in our church's life. One day we're all going to be able to stand together and we're going to be able to celebrate that all our resources are freed up to be fruitful in ministry.
Invest in amazing.
Invest in amazing.
Invest in amazing.
So this year's capital campaign is invest in amazing. The more we can pay down our interest, the more we'll have freed up to invest in our spiritual interest.
Oh, I gotta pay stuff off, so I sort of get that Glenmar has to do the same.
It just takes people to be interested and feel that it is important to reach out to many other people. Paying down the debt makes that so much easier.
Welcome to Vision Weekend here at Glenmar Church. We're so glad you're here and want to say thank you for being here as we launch into our spring campaign called Invest in Amazing. And part of that is because we have seen amazing things happening here at Glenmar, amazing things happening in people's lives being changed, amazing things happening with generosity, and being a part of this campaign I know is going to be also amazing as we talk together about the fruitfulness and faithfulness of our congregation. We know that over the next 5 years, about 12,000 people are going to move into this area, into Ellicott City area, not just Howard County, but right here around our church. And those are 12,000 lives, people who are going to be looking for a place to call home in their faith journey, a place for people to come and to grow and to follow Jesus. And so we want to help people do that. And that's really what we've always been about, is about helping people grow in their faith and grow to become followers of Jesus Christ. So we want to continue to live out that legacy and to be fruitful in lives that are changed in the name of Jesus as people follow Him and as people become more committed to Him. One of the reasons we want to pay down our debt is so that we know that that'll free up future monies for ministry. And so that debt has become something that we've wanted to tackle so that we can free up future funding and future ministry. So it's really about our faithfulness now, so that in the future we can be fruitful together. In a few weeks, we're going to be inviting you to bring forward your commitments here on Commitment Weekend, which is coming up here. And so I want to invite you to be in prayer about how you can continue to be faithful and generous to Glenmar. So please start praying now and be preparing your hearts for our Commitment Weekend on May 21st. And then 2 weeks after that, on June 11th, the weekend of June 11th, we're going to have our Celebration Weekend, where we celebrate all the great things that God is doing and the generosity that you've provided. So we're going to ask you to do a couple things with this particular campaign. It's a little bit different than our last campaign. And one is not only to pray about giving generously, but also to pray about your involvement here at our church and involving yourself in the ministry of our church. Two things I know will happen if you get involved. One, you'll be blessed. You'll become fruitful. You'll grow in your discipleship. And you'll also be investing in amazing ministry here at Glenmar. So join me and let's invest in amazing. Good morning. Is that a nice video? Except for the part where I'm in it. Other than that, it was pretty good. So we're talking about living generously today, and I brought the stool out because it's probably more for me than you, or maybe it's to protect you. I don't know. But I'm sitting in a stool because I want to have more of a conversation today rather than a sermon, if that makes any sense, and kind of give you a little backstory. About 10 years ago, somebody can correct me later, we moved to this location, this site. We came from Glenmar Road, just down the street. A group of people carried a cross down to this location. And even before that, the leadership of this church made a decision to buy property here and develop it and to build this building. And it used to be a farm, Bogger Farm. If you know the Bogger Farm stand over here on the road, this used to be a part of the farm. And I love the idea that we used to grow crops here. If someone grew vegetables here, someone grew crops here, and there was an orchard across the road. And so if you look at our logo for our church, it's very organic, isn't it? It's about roots and growth. And we've gone from growing food here at this location to growing disciples at this location. And so God's using it for a very similar purpose of growth. And I love that idea that this used to be agricultural property and now there's a different type of growth happening here. And the church has certainly grown over the years. And when the church leadership, even prior to 10 years ago, made a decision to come here, it was a faith decision. It took faith to do that. They made a decision and they said, we don't know how we're going to pay for all this, really. They had a strategy, they had a plan. It wasn't like they didn't have a plan, but they knew that. And when the leadership came here, when the church arrived here, they were over $10 million of debt on this facility. And so they made a strategic decision. I think it was the right decision. I think it was a good decision. I think we all have benefited from that decision and that step of faith that our leaders took before us. And so now, though, that one of the things that came into play because of that was there was an intentionality behind that. It said, you know, every 3 years to help pay down this debt, we're going to do a capital campaign every 3 years in the life of our church. So this capital campaign that we're engaged in this spring is number seven. Seven capital campaigns. This is my third one since becoming lead pastor. And so I think about that, and that's part of this idea of faithfulness. Now, the good news is that we've gone from over $10 million of debt to about $7.5 million. We've knocked off 25% of it. And you may be thinking, watching the video, and after I tell you this, that this sermon's about money. It's not about money. I'm going to refer to money. I'm going to talk a little bit about money. But my sermon, my message today has is not about money. It's about discipleship. Because if you look at our discipleship pathway in our church, we've talked about this. At the beginning of the year, I said this is our year of discipleship. Well, guess what? Giving, generosity, is a part of what it means to be a disciple. For me to be generous to others is an act of discipleship. I am following Jesus. I'm doing what Jesus asked me to do when I'm being generous. And that's not just about money. I can be generous with my time. I can be generous with my talents. I can be generous with my money. And generosity is really the attitude of a disciple. It's the perspective of a disciple to say, I want to make a difference in the lives of other people. So really, this is the issue of discipleship and what it means to be a disciple and to be generous. Now, to be generous, though, also requires something called faith. I have to trust God to be when I'm generous. Because when I give something away, whether it be time or money or something else, I'm actually trusting that God's going to take care of me. I'm trusting that God will provide for me, and that so that as God asks me to do this, I know that God's going to take care of me as God asks me to do these things. So this is a discipleship sermon. This is a faith sermon. This is about what it looks like for us to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk about money, but if you walk out of here thinking that we're just talking about money or talking about the church budget, then I would say rethink what the message is today and what we're talking about. Because really what we're looking at today is this passage of the Gospel of Luke. And I look at this passage and refer to it in the video, but one of the things I kind of love about this passage, it's challenging for me, is that when they come to Jesus, you know, the disciples have been working hard and they're tired, you know? They've been out doing ministry, healing people, doing all what they kind of want to think, to come back, report to Jesus. So Jesus actually said to them, let's get away from the crowds. I mean, this is their intention. Let's get away. Let's get on retreat. Let's do that. And then what happens is the crowds follow them and find them on retreat. Think about that. Somebody, can you imagine your boss showing up at your vacation? Right? I needed something from you, right? I didn't get an email, so I've come to where you are. I've tracked you down at the beach, and I'm here to get some work done, right? So that's where the disciples were. That's where Jesus was. And so they're saying to Jesus, hey, Jesus, send the people away so that we can go get something to eat. You know? Let's send them away, let them go get something to eat, and then we'll go get something to eat, and we'll get some rest, and you'll get some rest, Jesus. And Jesus looks at his disciples and says, what does he say to them? What did he say in the gospel? You heard it, right? He said, you feed them. I can just see the expression on their faces when Jesus says, well, you give them something to eat. Jesus, There's a slight problem here. We don't have anything. We don't have anything to give the people. Well, what do you have? That's what Jesus says. And they said, well, we've got five loaves and two fish. And so he says, all right, now have them sit down, right? So he says, what do you have? What you give them something to eat, and then it's based on what you have, not on what you don't have. So I want to talk a little bit about money today in terms of what we have and what we don't have. But I want to put a disclaimer on that and say, every time I talk about money or refer to money, and that's really, again, this is about discipleship, but I'm going to refer to money. When we talk about money, I find that people get funny about money. I've just come to that conclusion. Because whenever you talk about it, it makes people uncomfortable. You know what? It's not comfortable for me to have to talk about it, but it's my job. It's my job to talk about it. It's my job. And what gives me comfort is to know that Jesus talked about money and possessions and materialism more than he taught about prayer. If you look through the gospel lessons, Jesus focuses on money and possessions and materialism more than anything else because Jesus knows this is a faith issue, a spiritual issue, not a money issue. And money is not neutral in Jesus' world. We tend to think money is neutral. It's just a transactional thing. Jesus said, no, 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 no. Your money can become a god to you. It can become a god to your life. So my job as the pastor, old preacher once told me, other preachers say this, I have two jobs. One is to comfort the afflicted. My second job is to afflict the comfortable. Today I'm going to attempt to do both those things as we talk about this. So first, let me comfort the afflicted. I know, after 7 capital campaigns, that there are people that just check out. In fact, and I know from having done this and spoken to other churches about this stewardship and things like that and discipleship, that I know that it can be a turnoff to people. And I know people who actually walk out of church. I know people who don't come to church. I know people who will write me emails and letters and say, you know, I'm not in a position to be generous, man. I can't participate in this. And I want to say to you, it's okay. If you're not in a position to give generously, to be fine, you know, to give financially, you may be in a situation, and I occasionally get these letters where people just say, look, I am in a situation where I can't give. I want to say to you, it's okay. We don't expect you to give. Jesus didn't expect the disciples to give what they didn't have. He didn't say, hey, fish, I wanted lamb. You know, could you go find some lamb for me? He said, just bring me what you do have, right? Just work with what, let me work with what you can bring, not what you can't bring. And I think God always asks us simply to do, to be generous with what we have, not with what we don't have. And I find that there are times and situations and seasons in our lives when we just don't have as much capacity to be generous financially or to give our time or whatever it is because of our capacity, because of some circumstance in life. And if you don't believe me, if you don't think I don't know what that's like, I will tell you that I have lived below the poverty level. My family and I lived on WIC for a year. There was a time in ministry when I didn't know whether my paycheck was going to bounce or not. I know what it's like to live in a strapped situation. I know what it's like to live in a financial situation where you don't know if you're going to make ends meet. And if you're in that situation, it's okay. We're not asking you to give something that you don't have, whether it be time or money or energy or whatever it is. You may be at your limit, and that's okay. And I would say this too, that if you're in a situation where you're in what I would call an emergency, urgent situation, let me know. We have funds that can help you. We have an emergency fund here at our church that people give to and are generous to, and we use that to help people who are in emergency situations. So know that. So if you're one of those folks, let me know. But the other thing, I think about this miracle that Jesus performed. You know, one of the things they assumed about Jesus was that they thought he was Elijah. Some people did. And I think it may be because of this miracle. Because there's another miracle in the Old Testament where Elijah performs a miracle. And what happens is Elijah, there's famine in the land, and Elijah goes to a widow in Zarephath, a town called Zarephath, and she is picking up some twigs. She's getting ready to make a fire so she can take the little bit of oil she has left and the little bit of flour she has left and make some bread cakes for her and her son. It's their last meal. For her and her son. She's saved this little bit up to give to her and her son. This was going to be their last meal. And in walks Elijah, the prophet, and says to the woman, give me some bread to eat. And she looks at Elijah and she says, what? That's my translation. What? Do you know what is going on here, Elijah? Do you know that this is all I have is this little bit of oil and this little bit of flour, and we're going to eat this meal, and then my son and I, we're probably going to die because we got nothing left. We got nothing to go on. Single mom, kid. Elijah says to her, trust God. Trust that God will take care of you. And here's what's going to happen. If you give me some bread, every day, God will provide daily bread for you until the famine is over. So she figured, I got nothing to lose. And so she makes, instead of two bread cakes, she makes three. Gives one to Elijah, splits the rest of it with her and her son. They eat. The next day, she goes to the jar of oil, and there's a little bit more oil in there. She goes to the jar of flour, and she looks, and there's a little bit more flour in there. And that happens every day until the famine is over. God provides. I would tell you, every time that I was in a situation where I was strapped financially, I gave anyway. I didn't give a lot. I couldn't give a big amount. But I gave because I wanted to be faithful to what God was asking me to do. So I gave out of faithfulness. It wasn't a lot of money, but I gave something because I knew the story of Elijah. And you know what happened? God provided every single time. Every time. You know what that does to someone's faith? You know what that does to discipleship? It does a lot to our faith, because this is a faith issue. This is about trust. This is about faith. This is about building our trust and faith in God, right? And so that's what happens. See, here it is. Here's the biblical witness over and over again, New Testament, Old Testament. It's not the amount that you give. It's how much faith it took to give it. Think about that. It's not how much you give. It's how much faith is required for me to give it. Am I trusting God? Am I putting my faith in God? So that's part of it. So if you're here in that situation today, I hope that you have been comforted. Yes? No? Maybe? You don't have to admit it. Now let me shift gears a little bit. Let me afflict the comfortable. We know from charitable giving and tax returns, everybody got their taxes done, right? We know that the more a person makes, the less generous they become. That's a head scratcher, isn't it? That when it comes to the more money we make, especially when you go over $100,000 in your income, people actually as a community as a whole give less as a proportion of giving, a percentage of giving. They don't give more. They have more, but they give less. Does that night make you go, what? What's going on? I would say that's a faith issue. If you were here on Maundy Thursday, anybody here make it to Maundy Thursday service? Yeah. Yes, I did get my taxes done. I talked about that, but I also talked about the fact that I had 134 shirts at home. Why do I need 134 shirts? That's a good question, isn't it? I've given a bag full away to Goodwill. I'm getting there. It's a bag. It hasn't gone there yet, but it's sitting there. It's full. It's chock full. But my point is, there's an abundance. We live in abundance. We have great capacity for generosity. My question is, why aren't we being generous with it? Why do we have so much and then we're not doing anything with it to make a difference in other people's lives? Maybe it's because we're depending on ourselves rather than God for contentment and happiness. Maybe the reason that I go buy a bigger screen TV, I already have a big screen TV. If you go all the way back to when I grew up on the black and white with the UHF, you remember the little internal, didn't even have a remote, man. I was living in poverty back then. Whew, I was the remote. That's right. But see, what's happened is we keep moving the line of enough, right? Well, I got enough. Well, you know, I need a little more, right? We keep moving that gradually over time. And so what happens is we tend to think, I'll be happy if I have this, or if I have a bigger this or a bigger that or a nicer car or nicer this or nicer that, I'll be happy then. And then we get there and what happens? We're not happier. Because we've made our ability to provide for ourselves our God. We've made money our God. So here's a question that's going to make you uncomfortable. And it's intentionally to make us uncomfortable. When you give financially to someone else, when you write a charitable donation, is it easy or hard? Is it comfortable or uncomfortable? Do you sit back and go, oh, I could do this? No problem. Is that easy? And part of that question is, how much faith is required for you to write that check? I can tell you, when I lived in scarcity and gave something, that took a lot of faith. But some of us have great capacity to give, and we could actually give more, but we only give what's comfortable. We only give what feels easy, but we could actually do a lot more because we have so much more. And maybe God is blessing us so that we can be a blessing. Maybe God has given us such abundance so that we could take some of that abundance, take some of those shirts, and give it away to someone who would wear it, to someone who needs it, to some place that could benefit from it, right? That's generosity. Generosity requires faith. If there's no faith involved, I have to question if it's generous. If there's no ability, if I'm not relying on God, if I'm not trusting God in that situation to give, then how much faith is really going on? How much discipleship is really happening? So it's really about faith, discipleship, right? And the other thing I think about in this whole scenario is, I think about the people who gave to Glenmar and aren't here anymore. You know, I mean, when you look at the gospel lesson, I don't think Jesus, like all 12 disciples came. So 5,000 people, they sat down in groups of 50, right? And I don't think that they came and they said to Jesus, hey, Jesus, give me the whole load right now, right? You know, give me all of it. I'm going to go feed, you know, so 12, divide 12 into 5,000. Anybody else, but you know. So I don't think they could have carried that much food. But I think what they had to do was they had to go to Jesus, get some food, take it to a group, go back to Jesus, get some more food, take it to a group, go back to Jesus. They had to do this over and over and over again. They had to be faithful over and over again to make the miracle happen. I think about Glenmar. Oh man, I'd love the miracle to happen at Glenmar. You know what my dream is? Somebody would just plop $7.5 million, right? Anybody have that, you know, wish that miracle, right? Just plop, you know, but I don't think that's the way the miracle worked. I think it was the disciples' faithfulness. They needed to be faithful in the process to see the miracle. And I do believe that one day we're going to pay off our debt. We'll be faithful. I believe that. And as much as I want the $7.5 million to happen today, and I believe that it could happen today, I also think that there's another way God could work this miracle through our faithfulness. For us just being faithful, I think about all the people who have gone before us that never set foot in this building, but they were faithful to being generous in a previous generation so that we could be here today. Think about that faithfulness. You know, there's a fig tree in the Middle East that starts to bear fruit after year 70. 7 years from now, this church will be 70 years of age. I think about that, and a man was planting one of these fig trees, and another young man came to him and said, why are you planting this fig tree that you will never eat the fruit from? And he looked at the young man and he said, because my grandfather planted one, and my father planted one, and so I'm planting one. Because if my father hadn't planted one and my grandfather hadn't planted one, I wouldn't be eating the fruit of their trees. I wouldn't be able to enjoy this fruit, but because they had the long-term vision to see fruitfulness in the future, they were faithful in their life so that I could experience the fruit in my life. There are people who have been faithful to Glenmar that we are experiencing the fruit of today. Now, folks, is the time to be faithful. I can imagine, like the disciples, there's a point where we just want to go, hey, feed the 5,000, you know, show this the miracle, you know, right? Kind of like, I know about campaign fatigue. But Jesus is still saying to us, you feed them. you be faithful. So my goal for this capital campaign is different. There are some goals, and if you want to come back on May 4th and 5th, we're going to have dinners on May 4th and 5th to invite you to, and you're invited to that. I'm inviting you right now to come back on May 4th and 5th and hear more about the capital campaign. But here's a goal I want to put forth today. And that is my goal, my hope for us, is that we will be 100% faithful. 100% faithful. So what do I mean by that? One, that all of us, 100% of us, will be faithful, participate in being generous in whatever way that looks like for you. And that we'll be 100% faithful. That means I've got to look at my situation, I got to look at my circumstances, and I got to look at what does faithfulness look like for me and my family. Right now, that's my prayer. I'm praying about what does faithfulness look like for me, for Matt and the Poole family? As I have two kids in college, am I going to stop giving? No. But I'm asking the question, I'm asking God the question, I'm not asking anybody else this question, I'm asking God the question, God, what does it look like for me to stay faithful, to be generous, to be a disciple, just in my circumstances? And that's all I'm asking for anybody else to do. I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. So pray and for about what it would look like to be 100% faithful to God. Amen.